Please make sure you go over to YouTube, subscribe, or you can always find us on any of the podcast platforms, and that's Fostering Change.
You know what? I am so, so excited for another episode of Fostering Change. You know, since we started this podcast 5 years ago, I have had the most unbelievable fortune to meet some of the most amazing people. Like I always say it all the time, there are so many good humans in this world. And the fact that, you know, every week and now every other week, I get to have a guest. But you know what I love is when I've had a guest on the podcast and it's been several years and I ask them to please come back because I have so much more to talk to them about. And my next guest, that is exactly what happened. She actually had a viral video, and that's how I found her on Instagram. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I have got to have her on my podcast. But then I found out we ended up becoming friends. And so I absolutely love that. So without further ado, Sherelle Starr, welcome to Fostering Change again.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I'm excited to be back on.
I know. I'm so excited to see you. Oh my gosh. You know, I don't get to see you. But I get to see you all the time on social media. And I am just loving all the amazing things that are happening to you and all the love that you're bringing into the world. So I want to kick it off. The last time that you were actually on Fostering Change was in 2021. And so it's been a couple of years and there's been so many amazing things happening. So let's recap back for those who don't want to go back and listen to the podcast, which by the way, I recommend it. Go to comfortcases.org/podcast and you can actually see our very first interview. But you actually had a video that went viral that really brought you up to the front light of so many things that I am just so dedicated about, and foster care being the key one.
Yeah. I was featured in Humans of New York's amazing sort of series, just talking about my experience in foster care. And it ended up being a 5-part series that they featured me in, and that went viral. Through that series, not only did I get to share my story and connect with lots of, you know, current foster youth, former foster youth, foster parents, I also helped raise through that story around $150,000 for CASA NYC. So it was just, it's an incredible, incredible experience, not only to share my story and connect with people, but really to help make a difference with this organization that I'm so passionate about supporting. And if you guys don't know CASA, it's an organization that provides advocates for current foster youth. So literally people who advocate on behalf of the youth themselves, not the case, specifically for the youth. So I'm very passionate about that organization. And I was happy to be able to turn sort of my painful story into something very positive that helps other youth.
Yeah, I will tell you, your story was painful, just like mine and so many of our brothers and sisters who have gone through the system that I continue to remind people is shattered, and we really need as many people just jump on board and try to change it. But the fact that the love that you have for CASA, I will say, CASA is, they are the angels on earth that every child in foster care deserves. You know, those who don't know, it's a court-appointed special advocates. We've had CASAs on our podcast. We, as an organization, our comfort cases go to many CASAs because they truly make sure they go to the children in foster care. And I want to jump into talking about CASA because, you know, this is a national organization. I think that I've learned, especially since speaking to you, and I've really been diving into CASAs, is they're treated differently in the states. They're not all the same, which kind of surprised me because one of the things that I had heard, and I don't know if this is in New York, I do know that this is in my state and several other states, is that when a child is reunified with their birth parents, the CASA is to step away. And and that's actually in the rule book in National CASA. And I actually was shocked about that. And let me explain what my opinion is. And then I want to know your opinion because I ask this to CASAs all the time. I feel like children in foster care, we have such a trust issue as it is. And we are put from one house to the next. The only thing that ever is any regularity in a child in foster care truly is the CASA. You know, the guardian of litem, but, you know, they see them so frequently. frequently, and you know, they're really not bonding as, you know, those casas bond. I feel, and this again, this is Rob's opinion, and I know I'm gonna get the hate emails, I get them all the time. I just feel that we're doing a disservice for the child in the system who goes back. And by the way, I love reunification. I think it's like the goal we all should be searching for, but I think that it's so important that these beautiful children deserve to have their CASA come with them, at least for a winging off stage, not that just cut off and then you're done. What do you think?
So I agree with you. So what I will say is using my own story as an example, I did not have a CASA when I was reunified with my mom. And when I was reunified with my mom, a social worker showed up one day, made me pack my stuff and grab my sister, dropped us off at my mom's house and drove away. And that reunification was a painful, trying process of me having to learn how to live with my mom. My mom learning how to parent two very young children who had basically grown up at that point without her. And there was no support system to help us sort of bridge that gap. There was no therapy for me or my younger sister, who was also in care with me. There was no sort of thought, people didn't think through that we would need additional support when we reunified. And so when I say I agree with you on the very premise that we should be still providing supports for youth when they go back home to ensure that that transition is as smooth as possible, that they have someone who understands their behaviors, their triggers, their traumas, and can help sort of bridge that gap maybe now with their bio a parent or bio parents in this home that they are now trying to create together. And so I agree with that. I say what I would say is a lot of foster care and the systems for foster care are built with a very antiquated understanding of what youth actually need. Yeah. And until we start having these conversations about, does that actually make sense? Because again, CASA was founded to help foster youth, but what they are learning as, you know, decades and decades later is that the more you can provide consistent support to someone, the better. And that's for child welfare overall. The more you can provide that consistent support to a youth, the better they're going to do. So that is a conversation we should probably have, you know, yeah, across a national. What I will say, and this is just from my experience with the CASAs here in New York, I don't know a lot of them that just go away when you're a kid. So I still hear updates from CASAs about, you know, their youth who are now, you know, they were with them when they were in maybe elementary school and now they're in high school. So I don't know that those bonds are necessarily severed overall, but I don't think that it should be mandated to be severed. I think there should be some sort of transition to ensure that child is actually acclimating into this new household and feels that they have their voice still heard and that they're able to, again, bridge that gap with their parent who they haven't lived with in a while, maybe for years, maybe a decade even, in my experience. And so, you know, making sure that you have that sort of person there who can still be the consistent support that they need. So I agree with you 100%, Rob. And so it's just a conversation that needs to be had among all the other ones.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. And I think the fact is that, you know, I understand the fact that the birth parents want to be so far away from anything that reminds them or, you know, that they feel like the man is watching again as they did for so long. But I think that that's another issue that we have within our system as when, you know, we continue to browbeat these birth parents when so many times, you know, and again, you know, your case and my case are so different than so many other cases. But I've always said this. I said, you know, when a child enters foster care, first of all, we need to do everything in our power for a child not to enter foster care. We need to give all the support that we possibly can and understand about mental illness, understand about drug addiction, understand about people who are experiencing homelessness, understand all the things.
Poverty.
Poverty, the big P word, the big P word that nobody, by the way, wants to talk about. You know, I was actually doing some research. I'm getting ready. You know, I'm talking on the Hill about a new bill for my state. And I was looking at the fact that literally in my state alone, we are spending, and this is the craziest part, in my state alone, we are spending, right now we are sitting at, this is the most craziest number, $3.8 million in the state of Maryland for kids to, for foster parents to receive just the stipend. That's just the stipend. Mike, $3.8 million per month. That is $45 million a year that we are giving to strangers, to strangers, and we can't seem to fix the fact that if we were helping the birth parents with an, and again, I've said this about welfare. I say this about everything. I'm not saying give anybody a free ticket. What I'm saying is give him an opportunity. Give him an opportunity. You know,
100% you've been through the system. You understand this. Yes. If we were actually looking to help people and not penalize people for being poor, for, you know, just having the unfair luck of being born poor, in a system that does not want to support those, who aren't born with privilege. If we were just to spend a fraction of what we spend to take their children away from them and penalize them for being poor, we could actually solve this. We literally could solve this, like 100%. I actually just read Invisible Child. I don't know if you've read that book.
Oh, I have. I did.
Isn't that a great book? It's a great book. But when they call out the, I believe it's between 3,000 and 4,000 a month that New York is spending on foster youth, homeless foster youth in New York City, but will not give that money to their parents to pay for rent.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so antiquated how we're doing this. So backwards, you know, so backwards. And like I said, I mean, I'm just looking at the stipend. I mean, if you had all of the other things on top of that, the billions and the billions of dollars throughout our country that we are spending, you know, I say this and I've said this 1,000 times, the biggest thing that we can do, and I finally heard that they're doing this in LA, and I'm actually going to fly out there sometime in this quarter because I really want to investigate this. But I've been saying for years is that when a child enters foster care, the first thing that we should do is we should bring everybody to the table. You bring birth parents, you bring the foster parents, you bring the CASAs, you bring the guardian of litems, you bring the social workers, you bring the therapist, you bring whoever is, and you sit in and you look at each other and say, okay, what are we all going to do to make sure that this child gets back to their birth parents immediately?
Yes.
You know, and empowering that birth parent to say, not feeling that they have been so beat down, but to empower that birth parent to say, look at these people around this table who love my child and now show that they love me, you know. And maybe that will give them that boost to, you know, go to therapy or go to rehab, or we can figure out, you know, they're sitting here saying, well, I can't afford daycare, so I'm leaving my 3-month-old with my 10-year-old. And so you took my kids because of that. Well, guess what? That's our problem. Right. That's our fail. You know,
exactly. That's
what we should do. And I heard in LA, they're actually now doing what they call the round table.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, so when I was CCAI, when I got that award, I don't know, 2018 or, but Angels in Adoption, I met the group that was starting that or had was piloting that, and literally bringing all of the units and the triads together to be with that bio parent in the courtroom. They also had a really good pilot program where they would sit with the mom or the dad, the bio parent, and actually go through before they left court, before they walked out of the building, and say, hey, who are some kinship people that we can reach out to? Oh, you don't know so-and-so's number? Let me pull up Facebook and see if I can find, you know, someone who knows them, or find a connection, literally to ensure that that youth wouldn't be lingering in a foster home, and they can actually go to a kinship home. And so literally just changing how we think about being resources, and how these people who work in the system, thinking about actually being resources to these parents, to these kids, would change the game.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And the fact is, this is 2024. We have the Me23, Ancestry.com. Yeah. You can tell you right now, you can find you if you
want,
if you want to. And by the way, it's another cost. But come on, we're spending some of the most ridiculous amount of money as it is.
I follow some influencers on social. Like, all they need is a photo. Like
yes!
sometimes just a first name. Like, at first, this is Rob. He lives here. They like say no more. Like, they can
Yeah.
find people.
I mean, and the fact that, you know, we're still averaging about 700 kids a day entering our system, you know, I mean, we deserve to make sure that our children have a better future than they did today. And
we owe them,
you know,
this. That's the bare minimum that we
bare
owe
minimum.
Them.
Bare minimum. And the fact is, you know, a statistic I just recently saw where 80% of our death row inmates were either in or touched by foster care. If that right there doesn't tell us as a society we have failed,
right.
When are we going to open up our eyes?
Same with sexual trafficking.
Oh.
75% in foster care. Right there. Like,
yeah.
We say we care about youth, and we say we care about, you know, all the people in our society, but we don't. Like, look how we treat our youth. Like,
yeah.
The fact that we dismiss them, we let them get trafficked, we let them end up in prison. The foster care to prison pipeline is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. The numbers are heartbreaking.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hearing the fact that people keep saying, oh, this is a bipartisan issue. We can solve it. Well, when the hell are you going to solve it? And I'm going to tell you the reason I don't think you want to solve it is because it's an industry that actually makes money on the backs of children, you know. And I actually, as I was working on this bill, I was reaching out to agencies that I've had verbal conversations with about the fact of giving children trash bags, and you know that, you know, social workers who have told me they've had roll of trash bags in their desk drawer when they get the emergency call, they grab it out and they go. So I asked them to write me a letter because I wanted to bring it onto the Hill to get this bill passed, and none of them would. And let me tell you the reason that none of them would is because the fact is that they don't want to realize that truly what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
And, you know, we've given them the resource, so they can't sit here and say they don't have it.
Right.
I take no federal dollars whatsoever. So I want everybody to be very aware of that as you listen to this. Our organization has given over 250,000 cases out, and we all as an estate can do this. Listen, there has been some great things happening to you. I want to talk about this new project because you're now the executive director of Music by Clio. Is that correct?
No, it's Muse by Clio. But no worries there. Muse by Clio. And so if you are familiar with the Clio Awards, with an award company that gives out award to advertisers ad creatives in the advertising industry, we've been around since 1959. You can think of us like the Oscars of advertising.
So, I know. I know.
Yes. If you've watched Mad Men, so many shows cite us, like people know about us. We're kind of a big deal. But so I'm executive director of their online news site, Muse by Clio, where we talk about the advertising industry. We talk about pop culture. We talk about all of the fun ads and things being created out in the marketing landscape.
I absolutely love that. I actually saw you the other day. You were interviewing someone on a red carpet event, and
yeah.
I was just like, look at you.
Yeah,
oh, that is so unbelievable. But you know what? I have to tell you, it's about time when I heard the fact that you're actually going to be receiving an award this year from Casa New York. And
yes.
I have to tell you that I feel that you deserve to have the award for Casa, you know, for their larger umbrella, because the work that you've done in New York for CASA truly, I think, is showing a pathway of so many other people that can actually do this as well. And I always hear people say to me all the time, you know, I really want to help, but I don't know what to do. You know, and I look at how you took your story, how you raised some unbelievable money. So for anybody who doesn't understand how CASA is funding, they're a nonprofit. You know, they're just like Comfort Cases. They rely on donations. They write grants. They hope that, you know, so knowing that you raised that amount of money, I can tell you from a nonprofit, that is huge.
Oh, well, thank you. And I so appreciate that. And you know, what I would say to anyone who says, I don't know where to start, just start. Just reach out, join an organization, go listen to, you know, someone talk. Just start. Everyone has a skill that could be leveraged. Like, so if it's not telling your story, you know, maybe it's something more simple. Maybe you're helping send out emails. Maybe you're taking photos at events. Every nonprofit is always looking for a photographer. You don't have to be great. Like, just like grab your iPhone and like, but just don't assume. Like, I feel like some people talk themselves out of ways that they can help instead of just going and saying, what could I do to help? And letting the organization or letting the person tell you how to best serve them and how you can best be a resource. So don't count yourself out. And yeah, I'm super honored to, you know, be this year's honoree for CASA NYC for the 2024 gala. I am super excited. And I'm just hoping that, you know, by me being there, by sharing my story again on that stage, that we're able to raise even more money, because CASA is a volunteer organization. So, yeah, you know, all the advocates that they provide youth, these are volunteer advocates. So these people, you know, that stay with this youth at least 2 years, but most of the in New York City CASAs, much longer time. We've got some CASAs who've been with their youth for like 10 years. So, you know, they're with them, you know, through thick and thin, making sure that their rights are getting met, that their needs are being met, that they're being heard, and that they are getting out of foster care as quickly as possible. Like, that is the goal of CASA, yeah, to reduce the time a youth is spending in care. And so again, these are volunteers. And so if we can raise more money to train more volunteers, to get them out in helping kids in New York City, like a foster youth that's in New York City, that's what I want to do. So I'm super excited for this.
I love it. I love it. I love the fact, I mean, we give thousands and thousands of cases in New York City. And I don't think people realize that, you know, in that city, that beautiful city, how many kids are sleeping in hotels, how many kids, you know, that are staying at the Covenant House, how many kids, you know, I mean, people have to realize, and, you know, the thing is that no child's ever asked to be in foster care. They don't want that. They, you know, besides the kids who are being abused, which we know is not as large as what people want to say, a child doesn't want to be in that system. And, you know, we can definitely do better. Listen, again, I always get shocked about how fast the time flies with talking to you. I love you. Energize me. I'm so proud to call you my friend.
Thank you, Rob. Me too.
You are a mover and a shaker, and that's what we need. You use your voice in the right way on the platform that you should. And let me tell you something. I could never be more proud of you and seeing all that you're doing. And I just want to say thank you. And for, you know, the almost 400,000 kids who are in foster care, knowing that you're there standing next to all of us is just like, you're just a gem, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Oh, so great chatting with you. Let's do this again.
Yes, we are. We're going to do it, and we're not going to wait so long. Listen up, everybody. You can actually go back and listen to our interview that we did in 2021. It was as exciting as today. I hope you walked away with something today. I hope you walked away with the fact. And the thing that I love is the fact that each and every one of us, we have an opportunity, and we have an opportunity to do. And as we said, you can send emails out. You can take, I mean, nonprofits, we always need. And so don't ever think, and by the way, don't think that you don't have enough time, because the fact is, you know, 1 hour of time for a nonprofit is like an 8-hour day. So listen up, everybody. This has been another amazing episode of Fostering Change. This is the reason why I do this podcast. And I have to tell you what, you know what? I am so, so excited. So we get to do a catch up real soon with my friend. And make sure you go to Instagram. I will have all of her Instagram media posts where you can tag her, you can watch her, follow her. She is amazing. I will tell you, it will inspire you as it inspires me every single time I see her post. And once again, I love you to the moon and back. And everyone, have an amazing day. Go out there and be good humans. Take care.